The Old Testament reading is from Daniel 12, beginning at verse 1. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. After there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 10. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my name's sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must be first proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. For the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most of us Yeah, most of us here, now the kids have gone off to children's church, most of us here remember the 1990s. I'm going to talk about some of the movie hits of that time period. The general theme of a lot of movies beginning seriously in the 90s was the end of the world. There was going to be a great coming collapse of society. And in the past 30 years or so, billions of dollars have been made on these apocalyptic movies. Now they have superheroes, and what do? They pick up trucks and they throw them around. But it's the superheroes who have to save the world from a villain who's going to destroy it if he gets the chance. Just looking at movie history for a second here. Pre-1950s, there was a total of 4 or maybe 5, depending on how you want to categorize a film, as a major end-of-the-world type of theme. By the 1970s, it was up to 33 movies a year had that theme. Between 2000 and 2009, it averaged 62 movies a year talking about the end of the world. And from 2010 to 2020, over 100 movies were made with this theme. You can almost picture Mark 13, verses 1 to 13 on the big screen. The temple come crashing down, because this was a magnificent structure. All right, this covered acres of ground, was the temple area. You can imagine pieces of the alabaster stone come crumbling down off the side of it. You can almost see this on the big screen. I turned the lights off and we would try it, but I know what some of you would do. Sleep on me. All right. Now, the temple come crashing down. Is it a bomb? Is it an earthquake? No, you find out it's an invading army. And in real life, it really was. It was the Roman army. Jesus says that there's going to be wars and continuation of wars. Uniforms change, weapons change, but wars continue on. Does anybody know how many wars there are presently going on in the world of all scales? Anybody want to take a shot? Try 200. 200 wars in the world. Now, it may just be a small insurrection. In other places, it's a lot more people involved. But there are 200 wars going on at any given time. Charismatic leaders rise up at various times. They promise the sun, the moon, the stars, and what do they usually deliver? War and destruction. Jesus also warns us about false messiahs. I would put in self-absorbed politicians under that category. But this passage from Mark could easily be made into a modern apocalyptic movie. But see, here's the big difference. Movies are fictional. Everybody gets up at the end of a movie. All right? Nobody dies during a movie. Well, I should be respectful and say, except for the one just recently with... I can picture him. Yes, thank you. But generally speaking, everybody gets up and walks away. All right? There's no impending attack, by the way. I got to tell you this. There's no impending attack by vampires, zombies, aliens, or mega robots. I know, that's disappointing, isn't it? We're going to have a lot of fun making jokes about those genre of movies, but I'll let it go from now. Mark, we have the words of Christ. There's the difference. Scripture is Scripture. It is truth. Unlike man-made movies, what Mark has to say in chapter 13 has meaning. If you want to go back to Old Testament times, the song of Hannah, that was Samuel the prophet's mother. She so desperately wanted a child, she just kept praying and praying at the tabernacle for a child. Finally, God grants her one, and it's Samuel. And Samuel's raised at the temple. But when she finds out she's going to be pregnant, she has a song that's recorded. And guess what she talks about? Upheaval and change. Destruction, chaos. A radical transformation of society. But then she says, joy will come when evil is conquered. Joy will come when the rich are humbled. 1 Samuel, where that story is recorded, and Mark chapter 13, there's some fundamental truths here. Jesus reminds us that everything built by human hands will collapse. In Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Whether it's a temple, whether it's nations, whether it's land, none of it will last. Man, at best, is just a sandcastle builder. Think about that. Everything we build in this world, what, starts to decay. Look at the great pyramids of Egypt. They're collapsing. They're deteriorating. We're in awe of them because of their size and how old they are, but they're deteriorating. They're not the beautiful structures that the Egyptians first built over 3,000 years ago. Everything man builds decays. And you know what? It's always been that way. Rome declared itself to be an eternal empire, and they would bring peace and harmony to everyone in the empire. What did they bring instead? Poverty, imprisoned people, and slavery. This world's seen a lot of great empires rise and fall. The Mongol Empire, the British Empire, the good old Soviet Union. I always call them the good old Soviet Union because I loved them during the Olympics because they cheated all the time. And it was just kind of fun to figure out how they cheated this year. See, with them gone, we don't have much cheating going on. Olympics have gotten boring. But even the mighty Soviet Union fell. And maybe the U.S. is the world's greatest power at the moment. It won't last. It will crumble. Whether it's because we got a debt that's out of control or just inept leadership. And I'm picking on everybody for the last 30 years on that one. The UN wants to be an empire, but they're really a paper tiger. Everybody ignores or ridicules the UN. But all these things remind us that things don't last. We humans are not the ultimate power in the universe. Oh, a person can affect the world for possibly a few hundred years, but they cannot affect it for all of eternity. Man has a very limited scope of time where we can influence what's going on. And most of us don't influence the world too much past our own mortal lives. Now, Jesus warns against false messiahs. It says, many will come and try to lead people astray. And many have played the role of a false messiah over the time, whether that was Buddha, whether it was Muhammad, whether it was the Japanese emperor himself who thought of himself as God, whether it was Hitler. They were all false saviors. Now, I learned something this week about false saviors. There is a church in the Philippines called the Kingdom of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? For a church name? I like it. And it's in a city called Davao City in the Philippines. All right. The leader's name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce. Very charismatic person who has over 6 million followers. 4 million in the Philippines, 2 million elsewhere in the world. Sounds pretty good, doesn't he? I can't imagine having 4 million in church. Problem is, he thinks he is Jesus Christ, and he's Jesus Christ incarnate, or reincarnation of Jesus. He has 6 million deceived people following a false Messiah. In contrast, we teach Christ and Christ alone. And it's vital to the work of the church that we proclaim his life, his death, and resurrection. that we gather together to strengthen our faith. And yes, this passage from Mark does seem a little dark. But Jesus reminds his followers of a few things. We are to be proactive. We've been given our marching orders. What does he tell us to do? Be on guard. To share the gospel with everyone that we come in contact with. To rely on the Holy Spirit and that we will be saved. Back in the days in World War II, when things looked rather bleak, British were losing more planes than they could put up into the sky. It looked like England was going to fall. The English people were getting ready for occupation. Winston Churchill got up and gave one of his great inspirational speeches. Winston Churchill, fascinating man. There's somebody I would put in the great leaders of all times. But he also had a little salty side to him, and I got to just tell this story because it's humorous. There was a lady, Lady Astor. She and Churchill never got along. And they were at this dinner party once, and Churchill made an offhanded comment that was a little rude. And she says, "Mr. Churchill, if you were my husband, I would put arsenic in your tea." He says, "Madam, if you were my wife, I would gladly drink it." There are so many stories. I can't tell you some of them. There are stories for the Willard after about the third one. Or the stories that my wife says, "You can't tell that one in church." Other good advice Churchill had: if you're going through hell, keep going. Don't stop. Don't give up. Fight till you get to the other side. Because you're walking through to your own salvation. Nothing made by man lasts, but God's kingdom is an eternal kingdom. At best, we're just sandcastle makers. That's what all we are. But Jesus can redeem, renew, and restore our hearts. So disciples of Christ, keep going. Keep doing the things that I have mentioned in today's message. As I said, we are to be proactive. We're to go out and do the work of an evangelist. We are to go out and proclaim the name of Jesus. We are to go out and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are to endure to the end and receive everlasting salvation. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.